Welcome to the Game On podcast tonight. Adelaide United, top of the table after some very hard work so far.
Go you, Reds.
And the Australian Open, a Melbourne masterclass last night in the Djokovic match, but a young Aussie makes another quarterfinal.
First Australian in a long time.
And the Adelaide Strikers BBL is over for this year after a disappointing finish.
Yes.
All right, welcome to the Game On podcast. My name's Pete once again. Malcolm is joining me here in the studio. And, mate, what was your good for the week?
Well, I'll include this morning, the mighty QPR, who were bottom on November 26th and now ninth in the championship, won the last four games. So, yeah, I've been up since 6 o'clock this morning following the game against Hull.
Yes.
So we beat Neil Padley, Alisson's Hull. So very happy with that. So go the Super Hoops,
mate,
go the R's.
When you bounced in here, you were full of energy,
yep.
And now we've found out why.
Yes.
That is absolutely fantastic. Mate, let's get into Around the Grounds.
Around the Grounds.
All right, we've got a fair bit to cover tonight. We're going to talk some AFL, obviously, with the season not too far away, actually. We're going to talk some baseball, we're going to talk some basketball, but it would be remiss of us not to start off with Adelaide United. Adelaide United sits top of the table. Now the challenge really begins because they will be the hunted.
Yep. Good win against Melbourne, victory last week. Very high standard game from talking to a few people who are there.
Yep.
And you know, a couple of good goals. So, yeah, big game. And we're recording on a Wednesday night this week.
Yes.
And we play Auckland tonight. So, huge game that I'm sure we'll be following during the show at some
Absolutely.
Stage.
Adelaide United have basically finally got a home win. That seems to be the missing piece of the puzzle this season. They've been able to win away. We've talked about it with football teams, you know, and lawn bowls teams and tennis teams and cricket teams. Those away wins are gold, but you really want to be banking your home wins, and it looks like they might have just sort of turned the corner there.
Oh, hopefully, but it was probably more the fact that they were in front in two home games and lost one and drew the other.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we could be well on top.
Yep.
And that was the disappointing bit. And then they came from behind. So I think coming from behind also away mm-hmm. is another big tick.
Yep.
Big tick in the mental bank in terms of, you know, it gives you a bit of confidence, hey, we can fight this right the way and come out in the other side. So, yeah, huge game against Auckland tonight.
Absolutely. Where do you think it's gone right for Adelaide United this year, considering at the beginning of the season we were a bit unsure, a couple of big-name players moving on or moving overseas to other clubs?
Oh, it's a pleasant surprise, and I reckon Adelaide United deep down would be saying that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would have been worried. Look, to Calvi and the club's huge credit, their mantra and philosophy is to play South Australian kids.
Yep.
And I think they said at one stage last week there was 8 out of the 11 have
yep.
debuted at junior level in South Australia.
Yes.
So that's a fantastic tick to also the other clubs as well, you know, the whole development of youngsters
yep.
in South Australia. So very promising.
Well, one of those youngsters you talk about is Ethan Cox. I do
yes.
actually know Ethan. I did work with him a little bit up at Teacher Plaza there while he was sort of doing his apprenticeship
yep.
under some pretty good goalkeepers at Adelaide United.
Yeah.
He got his opportunity
Junior,
on the
yes,
weekend. All right, he did let through a couple of goals, but I thought he was very, very serviceable.
Yeah, I don't think he could do much with either of the two goals. His body positioning was good. He
yep.
blocked one where you made use of his big frame.
Yes.
So, yeah, certainly encouraging.
Absolutely. Hoping to get Ethan on at some stage.
Yeah.
I have spoken to him about potentially popping on, but obviously at the moment they're very, very focused on the remainder of this season. So,
no,
well done.
Get him on.
Can they maintain the winning streak?
Well, we can only hope, yes.
Tonight's
hope.
Probably the big test, isn't it? Top of the table
yeah.
clash.
And I know it was a sellout last Friday. I'm not sure about tonight. It'd be interesting to see, but you'd expect another decent yep. sized crowd tonight. It is January. It's still school holidays.
Yes.
So, you know, that side of things, I think a Wednesday night
yep.
game during school holidays is.
I did have a clip that I didn't quite get on the soundboard here from Carl Viet saying, look, get along to these games,
yeah.
support us. You know, almost imploring people to buy a membership because that kind of stuff helps the club. They're also in a bit of a transfer window
actually
as well.
Support.
Yep.
You know, it's funny, in the championship in England, they actually record exactly how many supporters there.
Mm-hmm.
And QPR last week was 1,739 travelling supporters.
Yep.
Their game's over there. They can go some decent distances.
Absolutely.
So they really mentioned that. It's a huge focus in that. And I think that's how it should be. Thank you, supporters.
Absolutely. Well, the one thing that South Australians do pretty well and is that turn out to events, and we'll talk about that in the basketball a little bit later, once again selling
Tour
out.
Tour Down Under this week.
Tour Down Under, exactly right. We'll talk about that as well. But Adelaide United, they are the toast of the town at the moment. Yeah. We should be celebrating their successes and really getting on board and really hoping that they finish off the season
and
pretty well.
And, of course, we've got the Adelaide Giants finals this week. So it's a huge week in South Australia.
Absolutely.
Massive.
We just talked about what's on tonight in the way of sports. We are recording a day later than we usually do. We've got Dimonor in the tennis. We've got the mixed pairs final going on at the moment. Semi-final going on at the moment. Adelaide United, the Big Bash. So it's lots of things happening. It's exactly right. Good luck to Adelaide United tonight. Obviously, we'll release this episode just after United have probably either just started playing or maybe even finished. We'll see how we go anyway.
Yeah, we go.
Congratulations to them. All right, mate, let's move on to tennis. Mate, a statistic here that I've got here. Aussie men making the Australian Open quarterfinals. Pat Cash, 88. Mark Woodford, 96. Pat Rafter, 2001. Leighton Hewitt, 2005. Nick Kyrgios, 2015, and Alex Dimonor, 2025.
Yeah, so it's rarefied air, you know, like, and also in the female side, yeah, we had Ash Barty, the reign of Ash Barty there for a while, but apart from that, that's been, you know, I think, you know, what is it? Mark Edmondson still is the most recent Australian to win, and 77 rings a bell on that, and that sort of thing. So it's a long way back.
Leighton made a final,
yeah.
Kyrgios has gone pretty deep there as well. And Rafter during his halcyon years of, obviously, 97, 98 to about 2002 was around the mark. This gives Alex Dimonor the complete box set of quarterfinals in all of the majors. That's a big achievement, but he's just that rung below, isn't he, of a Sinner, a Djokovic, Alcaraz, obviously Federer and Nadal before they retired.
To his credit, you know, he's a carbon copy of Leighton Hewitt, but I don't think he's quite as good as Leighton, if I'm really being, you know, and Leighton did win two majors.
Yes.
But he's the same sort of player. He hasn't really got a get-out-of-jail serve or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the Energizer battery of trying to wear down. And look, we saw Sinner the other day, and he did look terrible.
He did.
So we wait and see tonight.
Well, his practice schedule was cancelled yesterday. His practice session was cancelled again today, but that was to move him indoors, so he ended up practicing indoor court.
Yeah, so we won't see.
All accounts, he is looking okay, but you just don't know what happens when you get out on the big stage, you know, a tight, tough first set, and it could completely turn Alex's way.
So we won't see.
I think you're right with Alex Dimonor being that carbon copy of Leighton, but he has worked on his serve over the last 3 months or so.
He's made consistent improvement in general. You know, he's paced around the court. Look, he's got to serve better. The other night against Mickelson, he only served 43% of first serves in. He's got to be better than that tonight against Sinner.
Yep.
Otherwise, Sinner will get all over his second serve.
Absolutely. Mate, it would be remiss if we didn't talk about last night's match, the Melbourne Masterclass in the quarterfinals of Djokovic and Alcaraz. This was an interesting clash that really, I don't know about you, but I couldn't take my eyes off the TV at one stage there, and then I thought, this is not going to quite go the way it went, and then all of a sudden, it became one of the all-time classics.
I've got to admit, I was at a Paynham Cricket Club committee meeting last night in the end, so I didn't see a huge amount. Yeah, I got mixed feelings too. I think Djokovic uses the medical timeout as gamesmanship as a lot of the time, you know. I take his injuries with more than a grain of salt. You know, to say when he won the Australian Open that he had a 3-centimetre tear, bullshit. Yeah, that's garbage.
Yep.
I do take him with a grain of salt.
This seemed a little bit genuine, only because they showed the footage. And I don't know about you, but seeing players sliding on a hard court surface, there is potential for things to go wrong.
There is, but then he's moving freely in the third and fourth set.
Yep.
So, again, as I said, he's the greatest of all time in terms of tennis.
Well, that was going to be my next question.
Or it's Rod Laver, et cetera. And let's remember, Rod Laver lost 7 years of his career when there was the, you know,
professional,
the professional
versus
amateur.
Amateur, yep.
So his majors number would be up there as well.
Yep.
Yeah, which is quite crazy when you think professional versus amateur with how much money's in tennis now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, so, I think Swantek's earning about $148,000 an hour at the moment, being that she's on the court for a very, very short space
of
time. She is absolutely playing well. Let's just bounce back to Dimonor very, very quickly. You know, do you see him beating Sinner, and can he potentially make an Australian Open final?
I can't see him beating Sinner, but I hope I'm wrong.
Okay.
And look, they play the winner of the game, which is on at the moment, which is in the fourth set.
Yep.
Hopefully it'll go to five, because I think that would help their fatigue and that side of things. So we wait and see out of that. So, look, he's never beaten Sinner.
No.
So, Sinner starts warm favourite, but let's wait and see.
Yep, home crowd. And we'll just flip back, obviously, to last night's match. Alcaraz was probably the big surprise. I think it look like he got sucked into the byplay and the extra drop shots and didn't play through the court he normally would?
Lost focus. Yeah. Became worried about the other player instead of to the game plan, etc. So I query his coaches who are sitting there in tennis. Let's remember that as well nowadays.
I was just about to ask what you thought of the new changes. We knew about them obviously earlier on, but we was holding off to see what it was like in the Grand Slams. What are your thoughts on that?
Personally, it doesn't worry me.
Okay.
But I find it again amusing that coaching was a no-go. You could get disqualified if the coach was signalling.
Well, you could see them up in the stands in the player's box giving...
Yeah, the signal. Yeah, you know? It's gone. So I think it's a bit more common sense now.
Yep.
But again, exactly like we spoke about with Laver, professional versus amateur, they seem to go from one to the other. So.
Yep. Do you think that's a good change for tennis in general?
I don't think it hurts.
Alcaraz, as you said, getting sort of sucked into some of the byplay. He was... Probably there was a couple of moments there where he tried to taunt Djokovic. Do you think that's the right move? Because he's a divisive player and almost needs that us against or me against them or me against everybody else to get him going.
I think he just fell for it. And if he just kept this stuck to the game plan and that and had won that second set, Djokovic may well have pulled out.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Djokovic one more time here, mate. The Tony Jones comments, what are your thoughts on that, mate? It's almost an international incident.
Tony Jones he's got that job and had it for so long, I don't think he's got any great sporting knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Never has.
Yep.
I've always shaken my head with various things over him.
Yep.
It was an attempt at humour.
Yes.
It was a very poor attempt
at
humour. It was dumb, but then I do think there's been a bit precious from that side as well. But that's our sense of humour. You know, the Serbian bit to say, you know, it's an international incident or that, for goodness sake.
Yep.
But it was just so dumb.
It was. You know, buy in with the play, with the crowd a little bit, but you need to think about what you say. I get with you. And I think Darren Cale went on ESPN and sort of explained it in a way that, you know, he's part of the footy show. It's more of a comedy look at things, try to take it that way, and it's just not that crowd.
Nah. It was an attempt at humour, and it was court-martialed by Lily, no score.
Yep. We might leave that one where it is. It's going to be interesting to see over the next few days who's going to be our women's and men's champions. I think the women's is probably a little more open. Not open as far as we sort of know who's going to be there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
The men's, though, I think has got a...
It's open.
It is quite open, isn't it?
Yep.
All right, mate, let's move on to cricket. Let's talk the Australian Sri Lankan tour. Steve Smith wasn't required, but now after getting all clear on a wrist,
Elbow. He's not going to throw.
Yep.
But he believes he'll be okay to bat. So, look, he fields slips anyway. You get away with that.
Yep.
And it's not like he fields any. That's where he normally fields, so it's going to be no different.
Yep.
Look, I think that's a great result for Australia in the end there.
Yep.
Look, it's a fascinating tour.
The camp
at the
moment.
They're in Dubai. Yep. Look, it's who knows the way they're going to go. Like, I think every player named in that touring squad is a chance to play.
Yes.
You know, Inglis may play as a batsman. I think young Connolly from WA, look, he's only played 4 Shield games.
Yes.
So that's going to be pretty crazy. And he's never made a Shield 100. You know,
yep.
Darren Lehman, there was a bit of a joke with Darren Lehman how many hundreds he'd made before.
About 500 million.
Yep. And yeah. I do rate young Connolly. Yep. He's got a good temperament. You know, he has won them a BBL title. Did make 90 in a Shield final as a counter-attacking innings. So I do think he's got a lot to offer.
Is this the kind of series, though, that they could just bring a couple of those young ones on?
That was the word. If we hadn't qualified, if we hadn't won that last test...
We were just playing them
and
no matter
qualified,
what.
Then Hanscom would have gone.
Yes.
Hanscom and Maxwell was still a chance.
Yep.
So... my understanding is McSweeney came back in for Hanscom,
mm-hmm.
is the word around the cricket trap. So,
yep.
Look, which is a great result for Nathan. Love him to play.
Absolutely.
But if he doesn't play, I'll be spewing because I'd rather have him play leading a Shield game Shield in games, Perth.
Yes.
But, yeah, good luck to Nathan.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the bowlers for a second. Obviously, a fair workload here in Australia against India. Nathan Lyon didn't have a big workload here in Australia.
He's had virtually had the summer off at this stage.
In some ways, yes. That's what I'm sort of alluding to, is that he's going to play a vital part over in Sri Lanka. So from the bowling point of view, was it that they loaded up maybe a little bit for India here in the summer with the fast and gave him that little bit of time
to just
sort of get himself right?
I think it just worked that way. I don't think it was intentional.
It wasn't planned.
I think
there
was more on the wickets than expected.
Yep.
Well and truly. And like, he only bowled one over in Adelaide, Nick. Hang on, in Adelaide. And he's got a great record with the pink ball overall too in Adelaide. So he would have been considered violent. It just didn't work that way.
Yep.
And then he only bowled, I'm trying to think, 6 or 7 overs in Sydney. So again, Sydney, hang on. Traditionally that's
the pitch. Turns a mile, yep.
Yeah, you know, not so much like it used to, but it's still always been the pitch where the spinner does the majority of the grunt work, and it just didn't work that way.
Yep.
So I think it's one of those things.
And then we saw Travis Head have a bit of a bowl, Manus Labuschagne having a little bit of a bowl. That's why
I wasn't a fan of the Manus bit.
I agree with that as well. And especially with people taunting him on radio going, you can't bowl above whatever.
Oh.
Just crazy. But it just looks that way, that they almost loaded up with the men a little bit during that summer series here and almost just gave him that little bit of time to recover?
No,
It's just the way it worked out.
It's the way it worked You
watch cricket a hell of a lot more than what I do, so totally understand that. All right, let's move on to Australia in the women's.
I still want to cover. We have got one other thing on our running sheet.
Yep.
Now, Adelaide Strikers.
Oh, yes.
Now, I will be honest. This is being said behind the scenes in cricket circles, but no one's come out and virtually said it publicly.
Yep. It's only a matter of time.
Very disappointing that Travis Head made himself unavailable. Now, he's contracted Adelaide Strikers player.
Yes.
Every other batsman in the Australian side played, including Alex Carey keeping.
Yep.
The bowlers got told, no, you're having big BBL off.
Yep.
Because I think Nathan Lyon would have played for the Renegades if he was able to.
Yep.
But they all got told, no. That's it. Well, Travis could have played and he made himself unavailable. Now, he's already had time off at the start of the season on maternity leave. I just think you're on a very good contract, very good money. Now, Travis, you're always available for BBL, for the IPL now, because you know, they're paying mammoth money.
Absolutely.
I just think there should be a bit more of a commitment to South Australia.
Yep.
Overall, I was disappointed there that Travis made himself unavailable.
Now,
and I'm not speaking out of turn. I'm saying what a lot of people have said behind the scenes.
Sure. Let me play devil's advocate here again, not being around the cricket scene as much as what you are. Is it a case of that he comes back well after breaks, comes back refreshed and does what he needs to do? Could this be part of the thinking?
I just think, you know, you're on a contract. No other job do you just say, oh, no, I'm unavailable.
Yep.
Now, let's be honest. It is their job.
Yes.
It's not a
9 to 5.
Feel free. Now, he actually made a joke against himself saying he had the Melbourne test match off when he got pant out and said he was glad that he contributed.
Yes.
Because he'd had the rest of the game off. Well, hang on. I just think you should be wanting to play. Look, admittedly, myself, for the Strikers, whatever.
Yes.
I'm more disappointed he didn't play for South Australia at the start of the year.
You probably get another 5,000-10,000 people coming to those games to watch a player of his calibre.
Exactly.
So I sort of get that side of it.
And over that, I do think you've got to, again, if he's not on contract and all that.
That's okay.
Yeah, and if they'd said the other batsman, right, you're not playing and Travis doesn't play, I've got no problem with that. But hang on, he made himself unavailable. Yep. My understanding is Cricket Australia were prepared for him to play. Now, if that's wrong, so be it.
Yes.
I'll go with it and apologise. But
absolutely.
I'm saying my understanding is he could have played and I think he should have played.
Yep. Let's stick with the BBL before we move on to the women's. The strikers were a little disappointing this year. The spin attack, was that the right move in hindsight?
Yeah, there were times it worked, times it didn't. Look, probably was the disappointing game where it looked like they had the game won against Sydney Thunder, where Daniel Sams went berserk and won the game over Popey. Those things happen in 2020, but yeah, I think out of that too, and it's a fine line. They did lose two games on the last ball of the game.
Yes,
so it is. If they'd won those two games, they're playing tonight.
Absolutely. It ended up becoming a little bit tighter, the table there, with a couple of wins to a couple of teams there that made it very, very interesting. But congratulations go to the Tasmanian team in making their first final and hopefully their first championship.
Yes. I understand 17,000 there last night.
Yes.
Something like that. So 34,000 heads, as Hooksy would have said.
Yes.
And that. He got the shit for that.
Yes.
It's a good result. It's actually a bit ironic where the game is in Sydney and that, so it's 35-40. They look like they would have cracked the million spectators.
Yes.
With Hobart hosting, they're probably going to fall just short, which is a bit ironic.
Yep. Good to see, obviously, Tasmania, sharing it around a little bit, but I reckon they've been probably the team of the tournament so far.
They've been the most consistent team. They were terrible in the first round. They got bowled out for 74, but have come back and been easily the most consistent side since then.
Yep. So,
and like Mitch Owen opening for him, he bats 7 or 8 for Tasmanian Shield games.
Yes.
Has been a revelation, has just dominated and smashed him from ball one.
Yep.
And then Tim David, ironically, Tim David doesn't play first class cricket. Plays for Australia in 2020s, but doesn't, and he's the high man around the rest of the world. So
there you go. Yeah. Interesting. All right, let's move on to the Australian women's team retaining the Ashes. Yes. I think I got it wrong with the Border Gavaskar, but this time I've got it right in retaining the Ashes. Well done to the Australian women's team.
They've only got to win either one of the remaining two games, or not lose the Test match to win the Ashes overall. And I know that's a big focus because they were similarly up like this in England.
That's right.
And then England got the last 8 points to tie it.
Yes.
And so they're pretty focused to make sure they won. And look, the 2020, they're not, so they lose Healy and Gardner, fail fitness tests.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was going to ask, was about injuries that have plagued the Australian team. There's a few of those players that have been around for quite some time in that team, now just pulling up a little bit lame every now and then.
Yeah, and probably cheer that the fact they're playing one days and then 2020s probably does put more pressure on the bite. And it looks like Elisa's foot has done something similar previously.
Yep.
So her part is a big doubt. Ash Gardner, the word is that was more precautionary. She might play the second 2020. If doesn't play the second 2020, will play the third 2020.
Yes.
And then the Test match, that was more precaution.
Yep. Fair enough. Well, congratulations go to them. They are absolutely up and about at the moment. And
Alana King, to her credit, has just dominated the series so far. I think she's 14 or 15 wickets overall so far.
Yep.
And look, I tell you what though, Pete, I've got to be honest. I've watched the majority of this. Mm-hmm. One, women's cricket is good cricket.
Yes.
It doesn't need commentators carrying on making out a good catch, which was Phoebe Litchfield running back.
Yes.
Caught it as she should have. She's a good cricketer.
Yes.
She's an Australian player.
Yep.
Don't treat it like it's an under 10 has come out and taken an absolute blinder. Treat Phoebe the respect she deserves. don't jazz it up beyond its comprehension. And that's
fair
it.
Call.
I can guarantee the players will be watching that and cringing.
Yep.
Now, if you've gone troppo, if anyone's seen it, Ash Gardner's catch last week in the game in Tasmania is one of the best catches I've ever seen. It is brilliant.
Yep.
So it's the one where you throw it back in when your foot's going to go over the line.
It is
fantastic.
Yep.
Unfortunately, the camera didn't quite capture it as well as it could have. So probably lost a little bit there. But, yep, go troppo commentating
about
that.
Absolutely.
Don't go troppo about commentating a reasonable catch. Treat the players as they are.
Absolutely fair enough.
As very good cricketers.
Hey, question without notice. The women's cricket you mentioned there, obviously loading up a little bit with all of these games, a little bit like the AFLW. Is it working or can we maintain this or will we get to some sort of schedule a little bit like the men's where it will be actually split up?
It's unfortunately, it's not the... It'll be interesting to see how the day-night test match goes in Melbourne.
Yep.
And if that gets good crowds, hopefully, therefore, the girls will play more test cricket.
Yep.
And I'm sure that's what the players want.
Yes.
In fact, it is what the players want.
Yes.
So hopefully that... So this is just a carbon copy of exactly what happened in England is the focus.
Yep.
And they play so much... They play way more 2020s than anything else.
Yep.
Do
you think that's also to fast-track their development? Like... The ladies' development or the women's game in developing?
I think it's part of the trial match where they got the interest and hang on, we can get the interest with 2020
right.
More than anything else.
And what about some of the minnow countries that, you know, just getting into cricket? Does that help them?
Well, that's it. It's what so the under 19 world championship is on at the moment.
Correct.
Australia just beat Bangladesh when we were eight down.
Yep.
Chasing eight. So there are everyone and everyone's playing that.
Yep.
And Nepal, Scotland.
Well, Australia under 90 women are playing Nepal as we speak right now.
Yeah.
Australia, they completed their allotment of overs, 6 for 139. And currently Nepal are 1 for 12 after 3.3. So you're right. Some of the Ireland, Pakistan,
it's
Nigeria. This is why I asked, is this the advantage for women's playing that 2020? And they have that advantage by getting that right and then building into a test series?
Hopefully.
Okay. No, yeah. Fair enough. All right. Local Premier League cricket, mate. Anything to report back from that point of view?
Lots of runs on the weekend.
Yep.
And Brad Davis, current leading run scorer.
Savis Davis?
Yeah, Brad here to save us, Davis.
Yes.
And Shelton has just beaten Sonego in the tennis.
Yes.
So the winner plays Sinner or Diminor there. He is on, I think he's on 96 not out at stumps overnight.
Yep.
Sturdar 9 for, but I would think they will bat on for Brad to get chance to get 100. So I admit I might wander down to
a little bit later on.
Start of that game at 10:30 on Saturday. But overnight, Tetra Gully are 5 for 292 against West Torrens. Glenelg are 6 for 351 against Uni. Kensington are 9 for 356 against Port Adelaide. And Sturt are 9 for 270 against Adelaide. So some runs scored there in general. So, and all those teams can bat on. It's not compulsory declaration. So Josh Doyle made 91 for Kensington. As I said, Brett Davis and that. For Teatree Gully against West Torrens.
Yes.
They've all contributed. So we've the highest score so far is Luke Holman, with 72. Joe Gadding, who is related to Mike.
Yes.
68 not out at stumps. So be interesting to see how much longer they bat for there. And Glenelg have just... it's been a real solid contribution. Josh Roach made 116 and Jack Haynes 96. And every player otherwise has made double figures too. So 21's the next lowest score. So they've all contributed. Probably in Div 2, East Torrens made... let's go there. I think on memory, 202. I'm gonna do this on memory.
Yep.
East Torrens 202, of which Ryan King top scored with 91 on memory. I found it now. And Cooper Luke 60. So there was actually a hat trick from Hugh Stone from Southern Districts. They made 202, but well on top at stumps in terms of East Torrens there. Southern Districts at 8 for 48 at stumps.
And that was split over last weekend.
That's that day.
That's that day. Sorry,
so they
apologies.
Play again this Saturday.
Yep.
So there in the other games, Prospect made 230 against Woodville. So Woodville start batting this week. Second round of 19s made 302, but Northern Districts have already started batting in the none for 16. That's at Karen Rolton. Now, look, 302 at Karen Rolton. Isn't a lockout score.
Agreed.
It's probably 220 anywhere else.
Yes.
So that's game on, well and truly there as well.
Absolutely. All right. You said you're going to sneak down there. Anybody that is in the area, shout out to our man here. He'll probably have a couple of books hiding in the back pocket or backpack.
Yeah. If I didn't.
Absolutely. And come and see him for a book. If not, he'll probably catch up with you. Mate, that is absolutely fantastic, and good luck to those teams that are involved this weekend. I'm surprised
we'll cover
they're actually
women's first grade a bit more next week.
Yeah,
Adelaide beat Kensington last week. That's the first time in Adelaide's history to beat Kensington, so the Adelaide girls were up and about.
Absolutely.
There. So we'll make women's first grade the focus next week.
We need to find out what pub they're at, because they would have been definitely up and about that night after a good victory.
Yes, Lisa Girth would have been out and about.
Yes. Mate, we are having a couple of little technical issues here just with one of the cameras. We'll fix that up in the break, and we'll be back to talk some AFL, some basketball, and the baseball, which the Giants are hosting a final this weekend. Coming up, let's take a look at some of the AFL teams previewing the season ahead. And as we mentioned, the baseball, the Adelaide Giants, going for a three-peat. And the basketball, are the Adelaide 36ers the most dysfunctional franchise in Australian sport?
You're listening to the Game On Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
Looking to buy or sell your home anywhere in Adelaide, from the hills to the sea? Meet Gary Creeves, your dedicated local agent from Owens Castley Real Estate. With unparalleled knowledge of Adelaide's housing market and a commitment to exceptional service, Gary ensures a smooth and stress-free experience for all your real estate needs. Trust the expert, trust Gary Creeves at Owens Castley Real Estate. Your next dream home awaits. Contact Gary today on 0422 071 317, or on email garyk@ocre.com.au. And for more listings, please visit owenscassily.com.au. Make it happen. Once again, thank you to our sponsors, and by all means, support
them
when you need their services. All right, mate. Let's continue on. We've fixed some of these technical issues, and we're going to talk some AFL. Your team's strengths, big strengths for the countdown of the season, starting with Adelaide and Brisbane. Where do you see Adelaide improving this year?
If Phil Thorpe can stay on the park, I think he's, you know,
he was Adelaide's, the key, wasn't he?
He is. He's a vital player. That straightens them up. It enables, see, there's more crumbs, so Rochelle comes into it more. Mm-hmm. Neil Bullen will come into the equation then as well.
Yep.
I think Adelaide, they're going to bat a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still disappointing with Ruck. That's my own bit.
Yep.
Why Harry Boyd's at St Kilda, not at Adelaide's got me beat. All the best to Boydie, though. Finally, St Kilda announced it, despite the fact everyone's known for over 2 months.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is, definitely. Adelaide, obviously, going in potentially with three tall forwards. Do you think that is the formula going forward? I mean, Brisbane sort of used it to their advantage last year. Is it the formula?
Oh, see, for mine, Fogarty's not really a key mark. He's more the lead body. So I don't count him as the big tall forward. You know, it's more than him and Walker. Tex won't play every game.
No.
Yeah. You know, so that'll vary. I think Adelaide are there. They lose Himmelberg. Not that's a bit of depth there. So it'll be interesting to see which way they go there, because especially because Taylor won't play every game.
Absolutely. Adelaide's age profile is 24.7 years. They are the eighth oldest. I think that is a nice steady improvement for what they're looking at long term, isn't it?
It's a fine line too, because you know, Walker retires at the end of this year. Suddenly, the age group goes down dramatically.
Yep.
They recruited Neil Bullen, so it goes up a little bit.
Yes.
So yeah, it's a real fine line, that one.
Average game, 69. The 12th most experienced. Well, that puts them right in that window where we think they really are.
Well, that, you know, they, someone like Rochelle now, 35 to 40 games, should be starting to be more consistent.
Yep.
Hopefully he's a bit tougher at the ball and the body. That was my complaint.
All reports, he's having a good preseason.
Yeah, so things like that there, because they need him. That, you know, Soligo's now played 50-odd games.
That was my next question. Do you think he can take the next step? Because he did take a step last year.
Yeah, so they need him to become a dominant on-baller, not just a reasonable player.
Yep.
They need him to be a very good player.
Absolutely. Most games, obviously, Taylor Walker, as you mentioned, 278. Could he make 300?
It's unlikely, but, you know,
stranger things have happened.
If he had a year like he did 2 years ago,
easy,
and he's All-Australian, well, then he gets another year's contract.
Yep.
So, because Tex will play as long as they let him, basically.
Yeah, no, and I good agree on there. Him. Absolutely. He says he's enjoying his football more these days than a few years ago, which is interesting comment, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's... Taylor also has a person now, three kids. So he takes the kids out there all the time. So that's, it's funny how it's a family thing as well. So,
yep.
And he's great with his kids too, Tex.
Players with 100 games plus, they've got 10 now. So they are in that window that you did talk about. And players with less than 50 games, they've got 20. That's the one that they need to really get down, don't they?
Yeah, but at least now they've got enough experience. They just need a bit more consistency. You know, they need a Michael Annie to go from being... He's been a good player to become an All-Australian player, because he's certainly capable of doing that. Like he's a very good player, just improve a bit more.
Do you see him doing that in the back line, or do you see him squirting through the midfield?
I still think it'll be back line, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's used through there as well.
He's just got a Bontempelli about him. Like he just knows where the ball is. He has that ball sense, so to speak.
Oh, he's footy smart.
Absolutely.
There's the Michael Annie football gene there. Truly.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to Brisbane, mate. We'll go through each of these teams over the next couple of weeks in the lead-up to the season. Where do you see Brisbane, the reigning premiers, at? Joe Danaher is probably a little bit of a big loss, isn't he?
Oh, he's a massive loss. Mm. So it's going to be interesting. Now, they've recruited Sam Day, and I'm rapt that Sam Day gets another year's contract.
Yep.
Former Prince's kid here. I'll still never forget the day where I happened to be, just by fluke, at PAC, and watched him step and jump over a ruck bag. And I've always thought that he should have been used far more on ball than what he's done.
Yes.
Brisbane recruit him there. Who knows, this could be his second coming at 33 or whatever. He's had a lot of injuries. Hopefully his body stands up and he's there.
Yep.
The other thing with Brisbane, they've got five guys to come back from knee recos.
This is what I was going to lead to.
Kitty Coleman.
Yes.
Tom Dodo hasn't debuted yet.
Yep.
Lincoln McCarthy. So there's some... Yeah, you know, there's some key players, not just fringe players.
Dude was basically ready to debut.
Yeah, he was going to play
had an injury at training,
week.
Didn't he?
Yeah, he was in that week. So, you know.
That makes them very, very tough, doesn't it?
It means there's going to be real hungry players for spots, which drives training standards go that bit higher, which does help. Levi Ashcroft debuts.
Yes.
Marshall also is a... The word is there that don't be surprised for him as well, but Levi Ashcroft comes into their midfield.
Yep. It's a luxury Brisbane.
Well, it's incredible that he was rated above his brother as a junior.
Yeah.
So, geez. You know, just think. You know, he came back, comes back from a knee reco and just sits in seamlessly and ended up winning the Norm Smith.
Yeah.
You know, huge.
Yeah. Brisbane average age 25.3, the second oldest in the AFL. I think this seems to be the trend, isn't it? That second or third oldest, that little bit more experience really does help. Average of 85.9 games, the second most experience as well. Any guesses just off the top of your head who might be number one there?
Collingwood?
Possibly. We'll check that one up as we go along.
I'd say so. Purely with Pendlebury, Howe, side bottom.
Yep. You could be right there. We'll double check that in a minute. Most games, Dane Zorko, 277. Does he make 300?
I think so. Yeah. Look,
he'll get one great more year.
I think he might go more than one. He had a very good year last year.
Yep.
He hasn't seemed to lost any pace. He can do. He can still be a bit of white line fever and lose the plot.
Yes,
he's more a question than his body, I think.
Yep, I did just check that. You're right. Spot on the money. Collingwood is the oldest. Players with 100 games plus, they've got 18 of them. That almost says it all, doesn't it? You've got basically a starting 18 that have got 100 games.
A lot of experience.
They know what to do in what situation.
Yeah.
And players with less than 50 games, this is probably the scary part. They've got 21.
And a lot of them
are guns.
Are going to come through.
Yep. So
they're going to be competing for spots.
Absolutely. It's almost like Adelaide of 98, isn't it?
Yeah,
the players that missed out, they almost want to do it for them as well.
It's a bit of that.
Oscar McInerney, he's probably the heart and soul there. I think there's a lot of players that would love to see him
bust
get up and
boiler for him.
Get a medal on the actual
Lincoln
day.
Lincoln McCarthy, don't worry. Oh, yeah.
All right, mate, let's leave the AFL there. Let's talk baseball. The Adelaide Giants make the finals after a little bit of a shaky finish to the season, but they found themselves well-placed for another tilt at a championship.
Yeah, so we need to beat Perth and hope that Sydney lose the other semi for
a home final.
You still get a home final, but it's like you have the chance to have two instead of one.
This could be interesting. Perth stand in their way. It's a 3-game series at home, obviously needing the third game if it's 1-1. But do you think they could do it?
Hopefully. You know, hey, your favourites to win at home, so go the Giants.
Absolutely. All right. Times and dates for this weekend, obviously, I think have just been confirmed. We'll follow that up and put it on our socials.
Yeah, I think it's Friday, Saturday,
and then if they need Sunday. I think that's right on the money. All right, let's talk basketball. Well, we did lead with it in the coming up next here. Is the 36ers one of the most disappointing sporting franchises in Australia?
Still think, the start of the year is still so bizarre. It really...
Well, now it makes
never
it,
made
now
sense.
Now it makes it even more bizarre.
Yeah, it's just crazy. You know, Scott Ninnis, the way he got treated was just weird.
Yep.
And who knows? I don't think they can sack another coach again because you're paying out coaches left, right and centre.
Yep.
And just losing credibility.
Are you... the word you're looking for that right mix? It looks like the players starting five is better than any team going around, but they just haven't put it together.
They've been disappointing. They've been so inconsistent and fallen away in a lot of games where they've been in touch and then got blown away.
Yeah,
you know, their point differential is not good, so they have been very disappointing.
Should be very, very interesting. But the big one is they continue to get sellout after sellout of games. So, whoever's working in their marketing department and their ticketing sales.
Gold medal.
Bonuses coming your way there. Can they fix it up? Can they keep the coach and the players and make it work?
Huge question mark. He's being polite, I reckon.
Yep. Were you surprised that the coach only had one-year contracts?
Oh, I think I've given up trying to work out what...
That was a real surprise for me. I thought that would have been a 2-year definite.
Yeah,
get your feet under the table, and if it's not quite for you, then move on.
I've given up working out what they're trying to do. I just can't work. Surely, I wouldn't want to sign a 1-year contract as a coach anyway.
Yep.
It doesn't make sense.
All right, let's have a look at what's coming up Monday. We have Keith Thomas, part one. Really looking forward to a chat with KT.
Definitely.
And Wayne Wiedemann. Part two, always a popular chat with the weed.
Man, the weed.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Game On Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
Are dents and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Rogerstein Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over two decades of expertise, Rogerstein Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Rogerstein Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Rogerstein Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynde, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Rogerstein Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Flashbacks. Flashbacks.
All right, mate, for flashbacks this week, I thought we would go all the way back to 2018 where a gentleman that's known by South Australian public in Lloyd Pope having an absolute blinder in the under-19 championships.
Yeah, he got the odd wicket in this game.
Let's sit back, relax and enjoy.
Sharp bit of work behind the stumps and given out. Given out, so dragged his back foot out of the crease. And the leg spin has worked for Australia. Right, Harry Brook, who's been one of the stars, perhaps the biggest star of the team so far with the bat in hand.
Yeah!
And gone! What a delivery! Looked like the googly. Australia, well, they still feel they're in this game.
Well, Harry Brook couldn't believe it. But Australia needed something special to get back in this game.
I think he's claiming it. Yes, well, we're going to have a look. There's a little bit of indecision out there. He's claimed it, and yeah, batsman is walking off. Look at this. Yeah, brilliant catch. Terrific catch. Anyone that's fielded it slip will appreciate just how good a catch that is. Well, is that a brilliant catch? They're celebrating as if it is, and it's given out. Jason Sanger again, what a day he is having.
10 minutes before lunch, you can see a little bit of glove. And again, Sanger, what a brilliant catch. Two brilliant catches. That's another wicket
for... Tossed up, it's gone. Sanger has got flypaper for hands. It goes anywhere near him. He catches it, what a spell this is for Lloyd Pope. 5 wickets for the young leg spinner.
How often have you seen a spinner reckoning havoc on this England lineup? Going for the big drive, a thick outside edge and leaping. Jason Sanger, the skipper of the Australian lineup. Outstanding piece of fielding.
Yeah! Beautifully bowled, big shout. Gone. It's another googly. It's an absolute ripper from Pope. And surely now Australia will be making their way to the semi-finals.
Oh, close. Going down the next side. Gone. You thought it was just going to slide past leg stump, but it's bang in front in the end. The umpire took an age to give it. Well, one more over from Lloyd Pope. They don't manage to survive that. Another wicket. Ball bowled him, the googly, and that is it. They say that white ball cricket is about a run fest. Well, it's been the bowlers that have done it this time, and it's been a leg spinner. Lloyd Pope, outstanding figures, 9.4 overs, 8 for 35. You never gave them a prayer that Australia are through to the semi-finals.
The Google once again, which has been the undoing of England. Just chopped on by Pennington, who started the day so well, and you wouldn't have thought it. England, after their bowling performance, wouldn't have thought that their day would have ended like this. But hats off to Australia.
Extra time. Big finish.
All right, mate, that was some impressive bowling from Lloyd Pope there, mate. I know we were making comment. There was some classic catches there from Sanger.
Yeah, playing but, here now, yes. Jason from New South Wales, made 100 in his debut for South Australia, and yeah, he can catch.
Absolutely. Mate, we're going to whiz through the extra time big finish today. The AFL just announced by the Gold Coast Suns, set to confirm the landmark appointment of Reece Shaw as the next AFLW coach. The move will see Shaw become the first person to hold the toddler's full-time senior coach in both AFL and AFLW level. That is fantastic to have somebody back in the game like that.
Yeah, and look, just read a book too where Reece Shaw is spoken of in glowing terms. Mental blank on the name of the book. I'll do that next week. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and Tom Harley speaks really highly of Reece Shaw and all that as yep. well. And yeah, so rapt to have him, but you know, good to have him back in footy.
Yep. He made mention that, you know, I really want a coach. He said, I am a coach. I want to do a great job for this football club. So I think he's in the right headspace now to, to pressure's off with the AFL women. He can teach how Hopefully. To play. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well done. Congratulations there. Assuming that obviously everything goes through.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were going to talk some SNFL, but I think we might leave that one till next week. There's a few things happening around the SNFL. Yeah. Few players moving, as you mentioned, Harry Boyd there a little bit earlier. We'll make mention of that again next week. And we'll move on to the LIV Golf. We have promoted it over the last couple of weeks, but I'd assume there'd only be a handful of tickets left for this event now on February 14th to 16th.
I have chased up. I will chase him up again next week. Nick Haslam, tournament director. And if we can't get Nick, we'll get Craig.
Craig on. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Yep. Looking forward to that. Mate, it would be absolutely remiss of us not to talk about the Tour Down Under. It is here in Adelaide once again. This event just keeps on going from strength to strength.
And Sam Welsford has won the first couple of stages. So, yeah, good luck to Sam there. And, yeah, it is. It's a huge event in Adelaide. People out and about everywhere. Perfect weather.
I was a little bit late going to work on Tuesday there, and I see all people sitting on the side of the road with their deck chairs going, you know, what's going on? And then I realised...
I'm waiting for you to go through.
No, they were. I wish. But, you know, it was amazing to see those people sitting there and waiting. So well done to there. And the last one to finish off on, mate, the Super Bowl. It's always a big event. We've had the wild card weekends and the semi-finals, and could Patrick Mahomes go back for a three-peat, which doesn't happen very often in NFL history.
Chance. And, of course, we've had the big event in terms of the college one where you've had...
two punters from Australia. So one Maguire, one off. Rendell.
Yeah. So that's been huge. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that, mate. The good, the bad, the ugly for this week, mate, just to finish us off.
The good, I actually like Melbourne Stars actually coming from nowhere to lose the first five, not throw the towel in.
Shows you that
through.
It can be done, yes.
So good luck there. I'll have a look at that. Look up that score. Forget that's going on tonight as well. It's pretty hard to keep up with everything.
It is, mate. We've got it all jam packed into tonight's episode.
Out of that, and as I said, QPR mucking around with a bit. My ugly for the week is in terms of the Australian. And look, I know it's tennis, but. And it's a difference. It is an individual sport, but Kokkinakis served for the match and made three errors.
Yes.
Jordan Thompson and Popperin. First come off, the first thing they do is talk about their own injuries.
Mm-hmm.
How about congratulating your opponent first? It was a lot of me time. And that for me is, it's the disappointing side of tennis. You know, and again, even last night with the Djokovic,
gamesmanship.
And that's for me. Yeah, but yeah, I just thought, hang on. Hey, Thomas, Kokkinakis, you served for the match and made three errors.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he said, oh, if I'd won, I mightn't have been able to play anyway. And hang on.
Yep.
I guarantee you would have been out there if you'd won.
Well, he did go out for the doubles, but it was more from the crowd point of view. Yeah. But anyway, well done to the Australian players that have, put it first. And I think you'll find that from Dimona as well. Yeah. I might leave my good, the bad, the ugly for this week, mate. It's been another huge episode. Thank you for your time today. I thank Keith Thomas for his time tonight. And we'll obviously be playing his interview on Friday. So keep an eye out on that on all our socials. Again, like we've said before, if you haven't liked, rate and subscribe, please do so by now. Share it to your friends, family, enemies, Anybody who loves sport, we love talking sport, and we love to hear from you guys as well. We'll catch you next week. Thanks, mate.
In this crazy world we live in, we all need the distraction. Enjoying the show? Like, rate, and subscribe. Hook up and connect with us on social media at SportsCastSA. We'll see you next time on Game On.